Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You know, it's stunning, just the level of the lying and the shamelessness about the lying.
Yep.
Right now with the impeachment. I mean, and it takes a special kind of person to stand up before your fellow Congress members, Democrat and Republican, who all know what you're saying isn't true. And not flinch.
I got to tell you real quick. I came in this morning. You know this big monitor we've got in here that has, you know, what's trending?
Yeah.
And the story, the headline was, House impeachment managers destroy Fox News talking points. And I'm like,
what?
You've got to be kidding me, because the Fox News and, you know, folks like the so many other folks on the right, the radio talk show hosts, have destroyed the House impeachment story. We know that this is false. We know that this is false. These are not Fox News talking points. This is the truth. This is the fact. This is what didn't happen that you're trying to claim did happen, and that's what the House impeachment managers have been trying to do.
It's, I mean, let me just give you just one example. If you've listened to this show, you're really familiar with Jonathan Turley's point of view here. Remember, he was the Democrat Hillary supporter who testified on behalf of the Republicans, right? He begged Democrats not to do this impeachment, right?
In the part of the hearings that you actually got a chance to see.
Yes.
Because, of course, the House managers didn't want you to see the other testimony that was going on, because they simply wanted to leak certain specific things so they can control the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. OK, so you're familiar with this, right? So this is, listen to Jerry Nadler yesterday. He's testifying, flat out lying about what Turley said about the most important thing. See, Nadler and the Democrats know that the weakest part of their impeachment is the fact that there are no crimes. And that is historic. Every other president, there has been a crime. They committed a crime. That's why they're being impeached, right? As Ted Cruz explained that.
On their face, the articles of impeachment, they don't allege high crimes and misdemeanors. They fail on their face.
Yeah. So here's the problem. Jerry Nadler knows this is a problem. I mean, you are doing something that's never been done before, impeaching a president for no crimes. And so he lies about it. He says, oh, Turley agrees with me.
His position was echoed by the Republicans' expert witness, Professor Turley, in his written testimony. There he stated that, quote, it is possible to establish a case for impeachment based on a non-criminal allegation of abuse of power.
No, I mean, Lee, what? No. Okay. Turley exploded on CBS when asked about that.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Rightfully.
I think that this is one where the House is completely unmoored by history and by the law. I think that this will go down as one of the greatest historic blunders of a House of Congress, and rushing the vote by Christmas.
Now, when Turley's written response, here's what Nadler did. And this is how they lie. What Turley was saying, and he echoed this when he testified before Congress, what Turley was saying is, in articles of impeachment for other presidents, there have been charges leveled, like abuse of power. That's not a crime. Obstruction of Congress. That's not a crime. That has happened. But they've been paired with a crime. You have to have the crime. You can pile some more stuff on. You put some icing on the cake, right? But you got to have a crime. Well, Jerry Nadler cut that part out and said, oh, yeah, Jonathan Turley totally agrees with us that we can do this, and it's the worst thing ever, and all of that. Here's Turley.
One more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Okay, but can you impeach someone for no crime? Like Nadler's claiming Turley said. Turley made our case. No.
I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments. Now, there are three commonalities when you look at these past cases. All involved established crimes.
So Nadler's out to say, you don't know. You don't. He said you don't need a crime. Like maybe in another time-space continuum, but in this one where we live, no, he said the opposite. But they're just lying. I mean, they're just making stuff up. And this, Lee, this is what's it. Did you hear? I mean, they know they cannot prove Russia collusion. They know they cannot prove Trump and Russia colluded to steal the last election because that was absolutely debunked by Mueller and Hillary's attorneys.
That's what the Mueller report was all about.
Right. So they didn't dare include it in their articles of impeachment, right? But that didn't stop. That did not stop Adam Schiff from going out there and just flat out lying, saying that we have to stop Trump because he and the Russians will join forces to interfere again.
What are the Russian plans and intentions? Well, let's say they got in. Let's say they start blatantly interfering in our election again to help Donald Trump. Can you have the least bit of confidence that Donald Trump will stand up to them and protect our national interest over his own personal interest? You know you can't, which makes him dangerous to this country. You know you can't. You know you can't count on him. None of us can.
Well, this is McCarthyism all over again.
Yeah, so they're just making this up. I mean, this has been completely debunked. Embarrassingly debunked for the Democrats. They will not claim it in writing. It's not in their impeachment articles because they wouldn't dare. That goes down for history. And so they're just throwing stuff on. Listen to how outrageous it got yesterday. He was saying, now keep in mind, we have documented this here. The Chinese interfered in their midterm election. They were running full page newspaper ads in places like Ohio for the Democrats. Okay. And everybody was fine with that. Democrats loved it. They were great. Nobody criticized it. There's no investigation or anything. Schiff comes back and claims China's going to get in and interfere on Trump's behalf. And he's going to reward them with a good trade deal. With a good trade deal if we don't stop him. What the heck?
What Trump motivation do the Chinese have to support Donald Trump?
I don't know.
None. He is the biggest problem that they've got right now.
But see, this, okay, listen.
So what if China does overtly or covertly start to help the Trump campaign? You think he's going to call him out on it? Or you think he's going to give him a better trade deal on it? Can any of us really have the confidence that Donald Trump will put his personal interests ahead of the national interest? Is there really any evidence in this presidency that should give us the ironclad confidence that he would do so? You know you can't count on him to do that. That's the sad truth. You know you can't count on him to do that.
This after an administration that was willing to give away our national sovereignty to the Chinese in that Pacific trade deal.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the party of Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff was willing to give away the sovereignty of this country to throw away the jobs in this economy to the Chinese and anybody else in the Pacific Rim. They were willing to do this. And it was only through, and I wish I could say it was Republicans that stopped it. No, it was Donald Trump that stopped it through executive orders, who was able to stop this from happening. Because sadly, we had too many spineless Republicans who were willing to go along with this deal. And Donald Trump got that stopped.
Does anybody really believe the Chinese like Donald Trump?
Exactly. Well, there's
and
no
they're going to collude with him to steal the election? I mean, that is, you need to be medicated if you think that's real.
Yeah.
You must have been living in a cave somewhere and you just wandered out. But this is the level of the ridiculousness. And if they believed it, and had proof of it, they would have put it in their impeachment articles. They didn't dare. They didn't dare commit it to paper. Yeah.
They're just throwing everything in there because they know they've got nothing. They're just throwing everything in there to confuse and obfuscate from the truth. That's all there is to it. It's just impeachment jambalaya. We're just going to throw everything in there. Make it spicy hot so everybody thinks this is really something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, half the country will fall for this. They'll think it's real.
Yeah.
They'll think it's real. All right, just getting warmed up today. We got some good news next. We got some good news. You know what's interesting? Trump is threatening 25% tariffs on European cars to straighten them out and get them to the table for a trade deal. And remember how every time Trump used to do that, there was hysteria from the media? And the Democrats, you're going to alienate our allies. It's going to tank the economy. We'll all go broke. They're not saying that this time, are they? Did you hear that anywhere?
Nowhere.
They're not even bothering to make the argument because he's proven them wrong. It's awesome.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And this is the day I've been waiting for. I cannot wait to watch the Democrats attempt to explain one of their two articles of impeachment today. Today's the obstruction of Congress one. This is going to be hysterical. To watch them try to pull an explanation for this out of their rear ends. This will center around John Bolton and John Bolton's advisor and the fact that they wanted Bolton to show up in the House and testify, and Trump said no. Obstruction, they say. Obstruction. Okay. If you want somebody to testify who is an advisor to the president, you want somebody to do that, what do you do? What's the thing you do? What's the first thing you do? This is not changed since I've been on the radio here. You issue a subpoena. You issue a subpoena. Did the Democrats subpoena Bolton? Nah. Didn't bother. Wait, what? No, they didn't bother. So you'll hear Chuck Schumer walk around very concerned. They're trying to hide, and they...
We are standing by the four witnesses we need.
Yeah, whatever. They didn't want them. No, by design, they didn't want him. That's a built-in feature of the impeachment. So they never bothered to subpoena Bolton. That's bizarre if you say you need Bolton. What about Bolton's assistant? Well, they did issue a subpoena for him, but then they withdrew it. Do you know when they withdrew it? The Democrats? This is the best part of all. It's from the Hill. When the judge said he would fast-track it. Then they turned around and said, oh, well, we just don't have time to subpoena. We don't have time to subpoena them. The judge just offered to fast track it. Well, it's because they did not want Bolton or his advisor to testify. Because if they testified, if a judge ruled they could testify, they wouldn't have an article of impeachment. Remember how Nancy set this up? Because everybody's forgetting this, pretending it's not the case. Remember, she specifically did not vote to invoke the impeachment in the beginning. Well, you had to do that to get subpoena power, remember? Otherwise, the committee just doesn't have subpoena power. You had to have a vote of Congress to do that. They didn't. Remember, she launched it with a press conference. So none of the letters Congress issued had the power of subpoena. They were bogus. That was on purpose. It was by design. Again, it was done for the same reason. They did not subpoena John Bolton. And they are literally walking around day in, day out, day in, day out. We can't go forward without Bolton. Well, why didn't you subpoena him, morons? You could have. Well, we didn't have time. But y'all started this in August. yeah, we just didn't have time. You know, we're in a hurry because we thought Trump and the Russians would try to steal the election again. Oh, okay, then why'd you delay the articles of impeachment going over to the Senate? So they're trying to make, I mean, this is a bizarre argument. I mean, they might have some kind of leg to stand on if they'd issued a subpoena for Bolton. Judge fast-tracked it, ruled Bolton had to testify, and then Bolton and Trump just blew off Congress and didn't come. They might have had a leg to stand on. That's never been an impeachable offense before in American history, but they might have had a leg to stand on to make it a first. But they didn't even bother to issue the subpoena. Folks, this is what the whole obstruction of Congress charge is about, that you're going to hear them debating today. That's all you need to understand. It's a joke. I said this earlier. This would be like your daughter has a birthday party, and the kids show up, and her best friend's not there. And man, she's in tears. Man, she is crying into the cake. Where is my best friend, Mommy? Why isn't she here? Well, honey, you didn't send her an invitation. If you wanted her to come, you should have sent an invitation. Can't take it personally that she didn't show up. That's what this is over. I mean, and when you consider, you know what we used to do in Congress? If a judge rules, you have to, Congress subpoenas somebody. Judge rules, okay, you got to go testify. And then you just don't. You know what we've done in the past? Like when Congress issued the subpoena for Eric Holder, a judge ruled Eric Holder had to testify and then he just didn't bother to. You know, the Obama administration did that. Same thing. You know, the Obama administration did that. Congress just votes to find you in contempt of Congress. That's how it works. But unlike Obama, who defied, and Eric Holder, who defied an actual judge's order in order to hide their crimes in Fast and Furious, no judge ever ordered Bolton to testify because the Democrats never asked. See how outrageous that is? How bizarre that is? That's why Jonathan Turley sounds panicked. That's why Jonathan Turley calls this an abuse of power. It's so bizarre. So I can't wait to see how the Democrats defend this today. I can't imagine how you would explain it. How tough is your commute? Well, 1/3 of people say their commute is so tough, they get stressed out before work even starts, according to a new survey. And the average person spends about 5 full days every year commuting. It's stressed out by your commute. You know what? I guess I do it in the middle of the night. So, I mean, I could drive with my eyes closed and probably won't hit anything else. It's actually really weird to see the city that way. I love my commute. No, I love it. I listen to podcasts. It's my only quiet time, peace time, me time of the entire day. Is anybody else out there like that? I get in the car, I'm like, okay. Thank God. I love my family, truly do. But it's just so chaotic when you have a bunch of kids in the house. They just treasure like that 15 minutes of mom and yelling, Mom! Do you find when you go into like, I don't know, a big box store or something, do you ever find this? That your whole like nervous system is wired to that word, Mom or Dad? Dad! Mom! And you hear it. And your whole body tenses up, even though you know it's not your kid. Because it's just like a conditioned reaction. And then you're like, oh, it's not me. I don't have to do anything right now. Again, I love my kids. They're the pride and joy of my life. I'm passionate about them. But I love my commute. It doesn't stress me out one iota. I wish it was longer. Anyway, yeah, but that's me. Apparently stresses everyone else out. Okay, on the Ingalls Advantage talk line, Fred in Duncan. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to, when you were talking there and you were playing the clips of them, I mean, you almost marvel at the arrogance that they have to try to come off and say about Trump, you can't trust this man's motivation, you can't trust him to put the good of the country above what's good for him, when you stop and you say, okay, here's Donald Trump, made his billions before he went to public service. And yet you contrast that with the Pelosi's and the Clintons, the Obamas and the Bidens. And for years, they have profited off their power and connections, and they have cleaned up while they're supposedly public servants. But, and yet,
yeah.
Who is it that's donating their salary? It's not you know, Pelosi. It's not the Clintons or the Obamas. It's Donald Trump. He's the one that's donating his salary to this department or you know, whatever it is. He's not taking it for himself. He's divested himself from his holdings. And I don't know if you recall it or not, but back when there was a buildup and he was taking a strong stand with terrorism, they actually put up pictures of his properties as a, in no uncertain terms, as a threat to him, to let him know, hey, here's what's on the line for you, pal. If you mess with us, we know where your hotels are, and they are going to be a target for us. And yet he had the courage that when there was the opportunity to take out Soleimani, what did he do? He did it. And what's his reward? He gets a prospect on his head. And yet they've got the guts. They've got the, no shame to say, hey, this man won't put his interests or the country's interests above his own.
I know.
If anything, he's done it in spades, and they're just projecting the things that they do behind, you know, the things they're doing openly. They're trying to impugn him with doing what they live for. And it's disgusting.
Amen. Amen. I couldn't have said it better, Fred. I would add one more person to that list. This is the most astounding thing of all. This is why I'd love to put Adam Schiff on, you know, in the witness chair. Because Adam Schiff, in his own congressional disclosure, is on the payroll for two companies specifically named by the Ukrainians as having helped funnel the stolen Ukrainian cash. Two companies with connections to Democrats and Hunter Biden's firm. So, I mean, and of all the companies in America, Adam Schiff's on the payroll. Wasn't a ton of money. I think it was $22,000 to $30,000 total. But still, I mean, he isn't even, he should recuse himself, not be running this.
All right. And if it were the other way around, the media would hound him out of office. If, you know, if it were Republican and they could get by with showing him to be the hypocrite. But, you know, with Trump, you know, it's, when his enemies get up and they're hypocrites, you'll hear crickets from them.
And all this is by design, Fred, because he won't kneel down to them. He won't back off. Their threats, their slander has no meaning to Trump. Texter writes, and this is a great point. I actually had this in my stack like a week ago and never got to it. Thank you for your call, Fred. Texter on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, just to piggyback on what Fred said. President Trump has lost about a third of his net worth since becoming president. Yeah, and there was a clip of him I played a while ago talking about his legal bills running into the tens of millions of dollars. So, no. No, 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 no. Look, the political class, Mitch McConnell included, they were selling off the prosperity of America in return for kickbacks from countries that were stealing it, that were exfiltrating their wealth. That was the way they made their money. And Trump is smashing the system day in and day out, and they are enraged about it. Meanwhile, this whole hysteria about the Wuhan virus, the coronavirus, folks, you're not going to die. We're not going to war with Iran. We're not going to have World War III. The Kurds are fine. It was supposed to be a genocide. They scheduled a genocide, didn't happen. But then again, they scheduled two recessions, the media did in the last year, and that didn't happen either. And this is not the deal they're making. Yeah, it's sad, you know, that people have died from it. And yeah, we need to be very hyper-vigilant about it coming to our shores. But a great article in the New York Post today, headline, "Don't Buy the Media Hype Over the New China Virus." Look, if you want to worry about something, worry about the flu. Just focus on that. Here's what he writes. Most people affected by this will just have slight symptoms that don't need medical attention. But what about those who are more serious? He writes, well, New York Post, as a share of hospitalization, so those are the serious cases, the regular flu death, you know, the flu we have every winter and no one pays any attention to it. The regular flu death rate is 8.5% to 17%. That's post-hospitalization, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, considerably higher than the Wuhan/coronavirus. So you want to get worked up about something, get worked up about the flu. This is just more stupid hype from the media. Can they tell the truth about anything? How hard is it to just tell the truth? Pretty hard, apparently. You know, the U.S., this is breaking in the Daily Mail. The U.S. gave up a chance to kill Soleimani in 2007. God, I cannot imagine if you were the parent, wife, child of one of the more than 600 U.S. military service members murdered by this man's forces to read that. That 600 total begins in the year 2003. In 2007, starting the Bush administration, when you hear that 600 figure, that's when they count it from. We were only 4 years into that, folks. That was the number killed by Soleimani's, particularly his IEDs, his terror attacks against our troops. And again, Soleimani, for those who've been living in a cave, is the guy, the Iranian leader of the Quds Force. They're a terrorist organization. American soldiers had drones armed with missiles aimed at the streets of Sadr City in Baghdad in late 2007 when they spotted Soleimani in a large crowd. We said, holy blank, it's Soleimani, pressing flesh with a bunch of people, the official said, confirming his identity. Keep in mind, Bush is president then. The officer said there were discussions among themselves on whether they should do something, but ultimately they knew Soleimani was untouchable. Good God, hundreds of Americans dead. Washington just doesn't care. The U.S. forces who spotted him had to watch on as Soleimani eventually stepped away from the crowd and vanished into the building. President George W. Bush's administration had advised that escalating a war with Iran was not worth it. What war? You mean the one we're having now? That war? The CIA was also directed not to take matters into their own hands by the Bush administration. The Iraqi Intel Service, again, I'm reading from the London Daily Mail. The Iraqi Intel Service wanted to kill him and couldn't understand why we wouldn't target him, former CIA official John McGuire said. They thought he was the most dangerous guy in Iraq. Wow, 600 of us dead? Shoot. As a wife of a Marine, this makes me want to just spit nails. Another official said nobody wanted to cross an official line and kill Iranians in Iraq because that would put us at war. And we had enough with Iraq and Afghanistan. No, it would have stopped it. It would have stopped his terrorist attacks. It would have stopped the attacks on our embassies. Look how they backed down when Trump finally hit him. Officials said Soleimani, they hit us again, but very carefully so as not to kill any of us. Officials said Soleimani and his lieutenants gradually came to know they were safe in Iraq from any U.S. attacks and could move around freely, planning further attacks. That's what Soleimani was doing in Iraq. That's why he landed at the airport. The guy's landing at the airport. And he's meeting with militias and other terrorists and planning the attacks on our embassies. And this is why this year we had attack after attack after attack after attack after attack. And Trump plays to hack with this. Including taking to the streets like he did when he was spotted by the drone and freely taking selfies with militiamen. You know, the ones killing our troops. Those militiamen. The U.S. directive not to touch Soleimani in a bid to avoid conflict with Iran stretched over the next decade and was upheld by both Bush and Barack Obama. Fools. I'm telling you, folks, you got a loved one thinking of joining the military. Please do not. Do not do it till you see if Trump is reelected and make sure your term of service ends with his. Washington does not care about your life. Trump does. But you can't fight for Washington anymore, folks. You can't. You can't.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.